Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, Power to Be You and Rise to Win for our youth movement and listeners. My name is Sandra Bueno, and I am coming to you live from West Palm Beach, Florida. Today, we have a half-an-hour show that truly speaks from the soul. And today, I feel compelled to bring a lot of honor to my guest, whom is a person who truly has stepped up to making a difference and charting a course for her life and the life of her family through her beliefs, her faith, her conviction, as well as her skills. Skills as an entrepreneur, skills as a professional person, and more so than that, a person who really is stepping up for change and to raising awareness for the many issues and conditions that people are living through. And so it is with great honor and great pleasure to be able to introduce you to Ms. Valerie Parker. And Valerie, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Thank you so much, Sandra. It is a pleasure to be here with you today to share.
Well, I welcome you because I want to just read a little bit about your biography and just give the audience a little background about who you are and, you know, just everything that you bring. But before that, I really want to extend my, you know, I'm almost speechless because I know that the work that you do truly is something that the community and the nation needs to really, you know, embrace. And I believe that you are a person that you've been through it, you know what you're talking about, and you also come with solutions. And, you know, that makes it, I believe, so much more tangible. And, you know, so rather than talking, let me just give a little bit of your background and then we can get going with our show here, if you may. What I'd like to say is that Valerie is president and CEO of Arise by VNP and Associates, a speakers bureau and public relations company, and the Soul of a Woman Foundation, a nonprofit organization that serves the community. Her story will encourage and inspire you to hold fast to your dreams and mount up with the wings of an eagle and fly. Now, this is just coming straight out of the website, which I'd like to share as well with you. But before I do so, I'll also tell you that Valerie is a captivating speaker with a pertinent message of how she turned her painful 19-year abusive marriage into a powerful experience that allows her to encourage and enrich the lives of everyone she encounters. She is the author of two books, From the Soul of a Woman, Love Shouldn't Hurt, and Unveiling Secrets from the Heart, Forgiving Your Past to Free Your Future. Now, you also have another book, Valerie, which I'd like to introduce you and welcome you on the show, and then, you know, just allow you the platform here to really represent yourself.
Okay.
Now, let's start with, you know, you say on your website, purpose is simply our destiny.
Right. I believe that when we show up, you know, first of all, we're born on this earth for a purpose. Everybody is by design. God didn't create any junk. We're here to impact someone's life. When we show up, we're looking for love. Unfortunately, a lot of us find love in all the wrong places. So whatever experience we have of love when we first show up on the planet, we spend our entire lives trying to embrace it, searching for it to recapture that special moment where we felt love, where we felt peace. And when we don't get it, we stray and wind up in different relationships that we shouldn't be in. We participate in things we shouldn't participate. But the Bible all tells us that if we train up a child in the way they should go, when they're old, they won't depart. So we'll come back to ourselves. We make a lot of wrong turns in lives and, you know, detours, but we come back on assignment for God's plan. And sometimes individuals wind up casualties of war. That's why I wrote my book, Unveiling Secrets from the Heart, Forgiving Your Past to Free Your Future. We make so many wrong choices in life, and we never forgive ourselves for those choices we make. But, you know, our Heavenly Father forgives us of the majority of the things. And I'm so thankful for that. So if we can forgive ourselves for the things that we've done and know that we can't do anything to change the past, but we have the power to change our future, and we can always change it for the good. And I say, if God can do it for me, he can do it for everybody because he's no respecter person.
And I can say and I can share because your background, it says it, your website is fromthesoulofawoman.com, and you know, you survive a 19-year marriage of domestic abuse, found yourself homeless, and you say found yourself homeless but not hopeless,
mm-hmm.
and you also had four children.
Yes. I was married to a minister who was a pastor and then an evangelist for 19 years. Well, 17 of those years were abusive years. The abuse started 30 days into the marriage. Now, people say, you stayed in that marriage for 19 years. Well, you can't see the picture when you're in the frame. And I didn't know what I didn't know. I had no idea that domestic violence existed. I didn't know there was even a name for it. So therefore I was playing this role, first lady, you know, looking the part, acting the part, you know, calling myself, you know, a pastor's wife, ministering to people, trying to find, you know, help them with their needs. And I was tore up from the floor up inside. I was existing, but not living. And I incorporated my four children into that mess that I was living in. So my third book that I have, Restored Vessels, Young Adults Overcoming Adversities, part of that book is my children speaking, saying how it was for them growing up in that home and then overcoming the adversities to become productive individuals on this planet. So as I said, I was living a life and was with domestic violence. I was married to a pastor. The embarrassment, the shame, the isolation that I endured all that time, I thought that I was doing the right thing. I grew up in a home where there was no divorce. So my parents didn't know about the abuse because I was in a Christian home. I was married to a pastor, so it wasn't supposed to exist. So who do you tell that the man that you love, the man that's a man of God, is abusing you physically? I suffered black eyes. I was stomped. I was kicked. Who do you tell that this man that you're listening to every week in the pulpit is doing this to you? And on the outside, we had a perfect family structure.
How did you, what happened that gave you that strength to be able to change, to shift what was happening?
Well, one thing that happened that, you know, pulled the blinders off of my eyes was the final time that my husband leaped to hit me, my children jumped before me and blocked him from hitting me. Those gifts that God gave me were protecting me, and I wasn't protecting them.
Hmm.
And it seemed like the blinders came off my eyes. I was like, this is just not right. This is not right. What are you doing? What example are you setting? And it seems like all those years of watching that happen and them watching it, and they had enough courage to stand up and do something, and I didn't. That jarred me. And I came back to myself. And, you know, you said my third book, Restored Vessels, I talk about that, how you go through with your mess, your stuff, and allow things to happen and don't consider what it damages doing to the children.
That is so much the place where we are today. You know, when we look at how can we make a difference for these, the new generation, how can we make for the difference for these kids who are being born of the young moms that do not even have the awareness within themselves, you know, about life and about their own abilities or about their possibilities or about self-respect and value. And you are speaking directly, you know, the knowledge that needs to be imparted on them so that they realize exactly what you said. You know, we're going through these things and we don't even realize that our kids are being dragged right into that.
Exactly. You know, it was a hard pill for me to swallow. I had to take ownership of that situation. I wound up homeless because I allowed myself to be put in that position. Now, you know, people say, well, you got kids, you're homeless, blah, blah, blah. Well, yes, I was homeless because, number one, when you have children, I have two boys, two girls, they separate you in the shelters when you have male and females. Then, it being that it was five of us, they separate you. So that was going to be additional trauma. So I decided, a friend of mine said, well, you know, you can come and stay with us. But I didn't want to impose. They had a two-bedroom apartment and they had a daughter. And they said, well, you and your four kids can stay. That was five people being put into a home with three other individuals, and it was not fair. It was not their place. But they did have a garage that was apart from the house, and I said, well, can I stay here? The garage was a garage. It was not, you know, insulated or anything like that. And I took my bedroom set that I had, well, not really my bedroom set. I just took the mattress and the box springs, and I packed up my clothes and put it in hefty bags, and I set up a place there for us to live. And we stayed there for 3 months, going in and out of that environment. Our clothes, you know, we were smelling, you know, kind of dingy and moldy. I had a car that I wound up turning back in, and I wound up picking up a car for $450 for us to get around. It was rusty and dingy, and, you know, we weren't accustomed to riding like that. But, you know, my sanity was worth more. It was priceless to have peace of mind. And I communicated with my children, and I said, you know, this is rough for us right now, but I promise you, if you trust me to be your mother, I will make sure we won't live like this again. I said, I just need y'all to focus and, you know, do your schoolwork, please, you know, because you know how kids, when you're growing up, they be fighting and they're like, don't touch me, move over, why are you looking at me, blah, 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 you know. I told them I am not in a place to deal with that right now, so I'm going to put a lot of weight and pressure on you and bleeding you, please, be good. Be right, because this is going to be hard, but if you just trust me for a little while, I'll make it all right. And they gave me the will and the determination to reposition and restructure my life to be where I am right now. I did it for them because I made a promise to them because of what I had put them through. And here again, Sandra, we go through our little things in life, which are big things, in the eyes of children. They adapt and be a part of their environment. So in the midst of that, I had to consider all of that I had done and take ownership of that and say, okay, this is not going to be my life anymore. This is not, I'm not going to live what society dictates. We're not going to become casualties of war, which a lot of us are. And even if we as parents make it out and go to another level, a lot of times we leave our children behind. I was determined I was not going to leave any of my children behind. I was not going to allow them to be caught up with what society dictated, that I was going to fight for them as they had stood up and fought for me.
Well, how old were the children when this happened?
They were between the ages of 8 and 14. So God. If you come to my house, you will see a picture that we took two weeks after my husband and I separated, because we were separated a year and a half before I got the divorce. So that's why I said, you know, 17 of those years were abusive, but I was actually married 19 years. So you'll see a picture of how we were when we first, when it just became us. And then I have a picture of how we are today, and it brings me so much joy to know that we were able to make it through.
That's a heroic experience and journey that you went through, because to be able to, like you said, you were determined to not become a casualty of war, and we can see today, you know, the casualties, and we could see how all of these children are now at the effects of the decisions their parents have made. And, you know, when I've had Art and Compassion here, and I believe you know them as well, you know, speaking to Olga, the pastor, and, you know, what she's going through with the people that she has, you know, it's just there's really not a lot of places for women who are abused to go, much less to go there with their kids who are in school, who are needing to have, you know, a continuous you know, engagement with the family, with this, you know, in society. So how were you able to really keep that together?
Well, it was a fight to the bitter end. Like I said, you know, we have to come to a place where we determine and we decide what's really important. Material things didn't matter because we had lost it all, and I was willing and had given it all up. And we have to really decide what is more valuable, what's more important. Now, I don't want any parent to think because their child is on drugs or because, you know, they've made some bad decision like that is our fault. I don't want to give that idea at all because individuals are given a free will. They can do what they want. It's the choices they make. I chose, my children chose. Other children choose the lifestyles they want to lead. But what I am saying is that it is our responsibility to lay a foundation that they can build upon. So I just wanted to make that, you know, very clear that, you know, we can do the best and be the best parents, and our children still choose to be murderers, drug addicts, you know, live homosexual lifestyles, etc. You know, these are choices, these are decisions that are made. But as much as we can, we need to be a part of our lives. And one of the things I did was communicate. There's not enough communication going on in our families. I grew up in a time where my parents, well, I actually wind up coming home from school. I was a latchkey, and I picked up my sisters and brothers from the babysitter, got home, made sure everybody did their homework, and I started dinner until my parents got home. And when dinner was done, we all had dinner at the table, and we talked about what went on during that day. And none of that's going on anymore. Kids leave the home, they go to school, they come back, and because we are so exhausted, we're trying to keep it together, patching up our lives ourselves, that we eliminate the fact that these children still have to be nurtured. They need to be heard. And when they're not heard, they'll go and wind up talking to friends, and friends will lead them astray, and they're overtaken by peer pressure.
You miss so many opportunities to be able to, like you said, create the foundation, you know, and it happens. I mean, I'm a mom in training because I you know, I'm gifted that I happen to have my mom. And, you know, I have a relationship with her where I respect what she says. You know, and of course, there's certain moments when we have, you know, the differences of opinion, but I nonetheless see past that, and I'm able to see how she has been such a foundation for my own son and my own self as a mom. Because again, you know, we say, yeah, you know, children do not come with instructions, and each parent has a new set of conditions that they have to, you know, deal with. And it's difficult and it's challenging, but we do see how we can miss so many opportunities with our children day in and day out, when in one moment they might share something with you that is an opportunity for you to go and say, well, what really happened? You know, who said what, or how did you feel at that moment, or how did that make you feel?
Exactly. Those, you know, special moments. I mean, I had, like I say, I have four children, two boys, two girls. Each of them have their own personalities. Each of them have their own weaknesses and their own strengths. And I had to be able to meet them where they were and instruct. I have personal relationships with each one of my children, and they all have a special part with me, you know. So at the end of the day, it's like we're our best friends.
Now, how did they feel, if I can take you back to the actual relationship with your ex-husband, what happened at the end, being that he was a pastor?
Well, unfortunately, when he divorced me, he divorced them too. He walked away, and, you know, we didn't get child support, didn't get any help. And one of the things I say to ladies, yes, file charges, get your child support if you can. But if they're not man enough to do what they have to do willingly, and if, you know, you've filed the court case and you got a judgment against them, don't spend time worried about what they're not giving and what they're not doing, because the ultimate responsibility is going to be on you because you're the primary caregiver. Do what you need to do for the children. Don't sit back waiting and say, well, your father didn't do this, your dad's not doing this, because all that is wasted energy that you could have used to be productive.
Oh, and I hear you.
A lot of times women don't like when I say that, but at the end of the day, it's the truth. If I would have wasted all that time fighting him in court for what he wasn't doing, I wouldn't have been able to do what I'm doing, because it would have made me angry. It would have made me bitter. It would have made the children angry and bitter, you know. But it was bad enough with him promising to come by and pick them up and not show up, dealing with their emotions when that happened. I just was like, okay, if you don't want to come, don't come, but do not tell them you're going to show up and you don't, because I have to deal with the repercussions.
And that is so, you know, that right there and then is what you just, you know, what you just mentioned with the anger and the bitterness. You know, you become another victim in front of their eyes, and you become another victim to the whole plight, which now creates even more hardship for them, because
mm-hmm.
now they have, you know, and we've seen that.
Built up animosity, you know, they love their father, and I have never prevented them from that. I always, you know, if, you know, they don't hear from me, I said, when's the last time you talked to your dad? And they're like, well, I haven't talked to him in a while. And, you know, they'll pick up the phone and call him and reach out. Not 98% of the time he doesn't respond or answer the phone. But I told them, you've done your part, and regardless, that is your father. He cannot be replaced. That is your father. And I'm your mother, and, you know, we're just embrace the time we have together, because we're not always going to be here. You know, you can always have a stepmother, a stepfather, but you will always have a natural mother and father. And, you know, what lessons you can learn from them, learn it.
Those are amazing advice.
But move on. But, you know, one of the things I want to point out, Sandra, is, you know, we've got to be free. We cannot carry anger and animosity and be bitter, because it passes down into the children. If you be that message that you bring, that message will pass on to them. Now, talking about creating monsters...
Which child?
You will create a monster if it passes along. And I took time with my boys talk to me regarding their relationships, and, you know, and I give my opinion and things like that. But I wanted to make sure that they knew that men do not beat on women, do they? They don't. If that woman is not doing something that they don't like, you don't solve it with your fists. You don't solve it with anger and being, you know, throwing things around, acting crazy like they saw. That is not the way you handle it. And then I would say, you know what Mom went through? You didn't want light when Mom was being hurt. Do not afflict that on anyone else. If someone is causing you that much grief, that much pain, then you walk away. You leave.
And what do you feel is taking place right now when we look at our young people and we look at, you know, at what's taking place? How do you see this? How do you see what needs to take place?
Well, things are so much out of control. One of the things is these young people don't have a higher vision of themselves. What they see is they think that's all there is. If they live in a place of poverty, they feel that they can't get out of that. And if they get out of it, they have to do it by selling drugs or becoming a rapper. And if they're athletically fit, they have to play ball. But the mind is a valuable tool. You're your greatest and biggest asset, and they've forgotten that. That is not been instilled in that. You know, the teachers have lost the will to teach. You know, they're exhausted because, you know, the parents aren't participating in parent-teacher meetings. So it's a vicious cycle that goes that's going around. You know, they go to school just breezing through. Nobody really thinks much about going to college unless they have that structure at home. And it's unfortunate. If things weren't right at home, it used to be where the teachers cared enough to pour in to mentor a child. There are not enough mentors. There are not enough people that are saying, tell me what's going on with you. Tell me where it hurts. And that's what the soul of a woman is all about. Okay, bringing back to that foundation where truths were truth.
That's beautiful. You're talking to my heart. This is exactly what Rise to Win is about, bringing people who, you know, like you said, it's a vicious circle, and there are issues, but there are solutions. We got here. Now we can get out of here. It's, you know, like you say, one of the things that I've learned through personal development, which is, you know, what you basically represent as well, is we, you know, our standards are so low. We do not, especially here, especially in America, we hold our, you know, standards of who we are as people. We become complacent. You know, especially the younger generation now, I believe now they're calling it the why work generation. Like with the why, you know, why work generation, where the sense of entitlement is there. And, you know, kids are like, well, if it's not through the computer and if it's not sitting down, then what else is there for me?
Exactly.
There's nothing else. So, you know, again, it's creating a shift by bringing the awareness of what's really taking place. You know, not a lot of people have, you know, not a lot of women have, you know, they're embarrassed to share their story. They're embarrassed to say, look, this is where I was. And this is where I am now, and this is what happened, and this is where we need to go forward. And you have this, which just brings, you know, so much to the table. Well, I'd like to, you know, give you an opportunity to share your website, your books. You have an upcoming event in August, I believe.
Oh, yes, I do. I forgot all about that. I'm doing so many different things, and, you know, I applaud you because when I hear about all the things that you're doing and the heart and the compassion you have to reach out to the youth of the community, and it is an awesome, awesome task that you have before you. But, you know, I applaud the fact that you have the heart to do it. And I just pray that you get the backing and the support you need to take you to that next level, because there's not enough sheroes here that are willing to do this. You know, look back and say, okay, what can I do to make a difference? And, you know, and you're doing it with virtually no money.
Yeah,
and
it's
Yeah, we do
Sorry,
what
go
we
ahead.
Do because our heart is, we're driven to do it. You know, like I said, when we show up, we showed up here for purpose, and this is your purpose. And I'm a strong believer that when you're in alignment with the assignment that God has for you, then he will send people to lift up your hands. And I'm praying that it comes forth for you so that all that you need to do, because you'll be saving thousands.
Oh, can I tell you, I appreciate it and I thank you, because like I say, I go, look, I'll carry the flag. I'll share something really quick. I went to the military, to the Air Force at the age of 35 because I was a single mother, and I said to myself, and I wasn't in a relationship where that person in my life, my baby's father, actually sat at the table, the kitchen table, and told my mom, if your daughter ever cheats on me, I will kill her. And my mom looked at me and said, how could you be with this person? Well, at the end, when I finally woke up and realized, because I had fallen into some form of trance where I had become basically like a shell of a paper. I wasn't even there. My spirit was gone. Now, it wasn't that he caused it. It's that I allowed it, you know, because I allowed it. And when I finally realized, within a couple of months after I had my child, I said, okay, what am I going to do now that this is reality? You know, all my dreams and all the things that I want to do, great, but right now I need to feed my child. What am I going to do? And right around 9/11, it was when it had happened, I was a flight attendant for 17 years, and at that moment, when that reality hit, it's like, okay, what are you going to do now for your child? How are you going to provide for him? How are you going to secure his future? And I realized, I said, you know what, the best thing is go to the military, and I joined the Air Force, and, you know, I went there because I said, I need to be able to teach my child commitment, I need to teach him order, I need to teach him all these things that I had not learned throughout my life. And at 35, there I was in the military, and everyone would ask me, why are you here at 35? And I would say, my baby sent me here. And it was the greatest thing that I did. And, you know, you think that just because you have a child, you stop growing, but you don't. It's continuous. It's a cycle. And, you know, and it's continuous. And I believe that's what we need to do. Like when I say, I want to help these kids, I want to help them, but we all need to be able to go and help that environment, and that means helping the educators, helping the parents, you know, helping the teachers, helping the legislators, the judicial, you know, people who are there, the judges, because we all need to come together, because all collectively we are, you know, dependent upon these kids whom are just developing.
Absolutely.
You know?
Congratulations, you are from the soul of a woman. This is who we are, and I applaud you. This is what the soul of a woman is all about, getting us back to grassroots. And, you know, just like President Obama saying, we need everybody. It was a time where the community raised our children. You know, everything has gotten so off track, so haywire, but this is what the soul of a woman is about, and that's my website, fromthesoulofawoman.com. And I do have a retreat coming up in August, and you can find that information on the website. And I thank you so much for allowing me the opportunity to have a voice on your show.
Oh, thank you, Valerie, and I look forward to just being able to work with you because, like I said, I'll carry the flag, but we're all part of the Army.
Absolutely.
Okay,
and
Valerie.
What a mighty soldier you are.
Well, I got trained. Well, thank you, Valerie, and I look forward
once again. And one of the main things, before, I know we got to go, but one of the things I want to say that you brought out was that you were 35, and it does not matter how old you are, you can always begin again as long as you have breath in your body.
No, thank you, and amen. You know what, that last word you want to say when you're down on your bed is to say thank you and amen for the life I live, because I left something behind.
Yes.
All right, Valerie, thank you, and I look forward to just working with you and being there at the Rights to Win movement and just becoming that beacon. You know, you're already the beacon, but now all of us together, the light's going to really shine. So thank you again.
Peace and blessings.
Bye, Valerie. Bye. Ladies and gentlemen, it has been Power to Be You, Valerie Parker, from the soul of a woman. You've heard Valerie speak. You know what she's about. You know what we're about. We are bringing people together, stepping up for change, making a difference, and not letting anything stand in the way of what we were destined to do. Join us again next week.